In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on February 25th, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls. And not joining me is Ethan Lee. Ethan had to do something college-related. I mean, come on. Ditching the show for college? Psh! Ridiculous. But anyways, it's going to be just me today. I hope you are fine with that. I hope you're content with that. Just me. No Ethan, but I think he'll be back on Tuesday. But today on the show, we're going to talk about a game that ended about 2 hours ago as I record. Mississippi State falling to Texas A&M in College Station, 68-66. Another heartbreaker for Mississippi State this season, and another one against Texas A&M. Mississippi State has an upcoming basketball game against South Carolina. We'll talk about that. The baseball team plays a doubleheader against UMass Lowell and Nicholls State. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk a little bit about David Turner, the last remaining major Mississippi State defensive assistant remaining, the other three leaving. Pretty much certain, guaranteed, that he was going to be coming back for another year at Mississippi State, but lo and behold, going to Texas A&M. We'll talk about that, but we will start with the game that just ended a few hours ago as I record. Mississippi State falling 68-66 to Texas A&M. A game where Mississippi State seemed to be in it for a good portion of the game. It was a game where Mississippi State, it was a pretty ugly first couple of minutes. Neither team scoring until the 17-19 mark when Mississippi State had the first points in the ball game. But from that point on, Texas A&M sort of had decent control of the game. It was a game for Mississippi State that a recurring theme for Mississippi State this year, getting behind and just fighting back and fighting back and fighting back the resiliency in the Mississippi State team. And the Bulldogs have been able to get over that hump of finishing in their last couple of games, of course, defeating Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. Winning 5 of the last 9 games and 3 of the last 4, it seemed like Mississippi State was starting to be able to really know how to finish. But today it seemed like the Mississippi State was back to its old ways before the season, not back to the Rick Ray era, because if we were the Rick Ray era, let's just be honest, we probably would have gotten beat by about 20 to 25 points in College Station today. But it seemed like just early SEC season, Mississippi State not really being able to finish. But just looking at some stats, the guy who pretty much kept Mississippi State in this ballgame and really just had the heart and the soul and had the most passion in this ballgame is Craig Sword. Arguably the game of his life. 24 points for Craig Sword in this one. Sword had a very solid first half, scoring 9 points, but then everything sort of just came together for him in the second, scoring 15 points, 8 of which came in a stretch run where he, arguably the best minute of his Mississippi State playing days, at least this year, down 48-40, a good jumper by Johnny Zapardo made it 48-42, and then Greg Sword lit just this fire, couldn't be stopped for this little stretch of time, down 48-42, Craig Sword hits a three, and makes a layup. 8 consecutive points by Craig Sword to get Mississippi State from a 48-40 deficit to a 50-50 tie. And it seemed at this point like Mississippi State was really starting to get something together. Texas A&M was able to stretch back out to a 54-52 lead. And then misses, and then Malik Newman comes down, hits a three, and then another three on the next possession by IJ Reddy gave Mississippi State a 58-54 lead with just under 7 minutes left to go in the game. And this is when he really started to feel like, wow, we can pull this off. If we can just make a couple more defensive stops, we can really pull this off. But it just wasn't meant to be. Texas A&M made a couple shots. And in the end, it was a deadlock. It was 66-64 in favor of the Aggies. Craig Sword comes down, makes a shot, 66-66 with 24 seconds left. And then, yeah, I'm not going to call it a boneheaded foul. Texas A&M got the ball with 24 seconds left. Mississippi State had no timeouts. Texas A&M decided not to call a timeout, just run a regular play. And I was pretty afraid, and I'm sure a lot of Mississippi State fans were afraid that they were going to go down and hit a bucket to win the ball game, but let's see who this was. Daniel House, who I believe is still their leading scorer on average throughout the season, went in the lane, and it was I haven't seen a replay of it. I just saw it once, but I'll say it was a questionable foul call. Quindary Weatherspoon got some contact on Daniel House, but there really wasn't anything else to do because Daniel House is driving the lane, and that was just going to be an easy bucket, an easy layup to take a two-point lead with 2 seconds left. So you can't really blame Quindary Weatherspoon for fouling him in that situation. If it was a foul, because I saw some people on Twitter, I don't know if it was just Mississippi State bias, I'm sure it could have been, who said that it was a very questionable foul call and that it was not a foul. But you can't blame Quindary Weatherspoon in that situation for putting contact on him, because there really wasn't any other choice. It was either that or he was going to take the lead with 2 seconds left. But Mississippi State down 68-66 after two free throw shots by Daniel House, and then we got the ball back with 2 seconds left, inbounding it from the opposite side of the court. And unless you were going to pull off some Christian Leitner against Kentucky miracle, there really wasn't much of a shot that Mississippi State was going to be able to put up a shot and at least tie the game in that situation. So really, it was just an unfortunate scenario for Mississippi State in those last 30 seconds or so. But another good game from Quindary Weatherspoon. Quindary Weatherspoon really had a majority of his production in the first half, scoring 10 points, and really struggled in the second half. Pretty much for the first time, at least in SEC play, Quindary Weatherspoon really showed his inexperience, really had some freshman moments, missing some shots and turning the ball over a couple of times, only putting up 4 points in that second half, which you could make the argument hurt the team. But with a performance like Craig Sword had... You can't really say that it hurt the team necessarily. Malik Newman, he didn't start the game. He was injured, but Malik Newman, he was on the court for 18 minutes, putting together 8 points. It wasn't a fantastic performance from Newman. Excuse me. Going 3-for-6 from the field and 2-for-4 from three, which isn't terrible, but you probably would expect more from Malik Newman, and you have to pretty much expect at this point that Malik Newman will be coming back for his sophomore year at Mississippi State, which, if that is the case, we'll discuss it at length about what it could mean for Mississippi State next year, and what it means for Malik Newman. But at this point, you pretty much have to expect that Malik Newman will be coming back for his senior year. But for Texas A&M, there was a plethora, whereas, you know, Mississippi State had good performances and double digits from Craig Sword and Quindary Weatherspoon, but then no one else really stepped up to the plate. There were some decent performances from Gavin Ware. I mean, he only had 8 points, and Malik Newman only had 8 points, so that's just two guys in double digits for Mississippi State, two guys really getting a majority of the workload, and Texas A&M had three guys in double digits, 16 from Daniel House, 15 from Tyler Davis, and 10 from DJ Hogg, which is an interesting name. But this is a game where it seems like it's a good majority of Mississippi State SEC basketball games this year where our lack of truly knowing how to win shows, and in this case, it was probably just talent. Texas A&M's talent pretty much just shined over Mississippi State's, I guess, Rick Ray recruits, I guess you could say. But if you're going to look at the positives of this and looking at the positives down the road, these are two games against a much better, and we can say that without a doubt, that Texas A&M is much better than Mississippi State. These are two games against this team. We lost by a combined 3 points, and it gives you a lot of hope for the future with this team that, hey, we can get something going down the road, knowing that once we learn how to finish these games, and with the recruits that we'll be bringing in, and assuming that Quindary Weatherspoon and Malik Newman come back, and then in addition, Eric Holman will be coming back, and IJ Reddy will be coming back, and IJ Reddy's been playing well as of late. That could be a tournament team, and with that, just that pure talent and a really good coach that knows how to maximize talent, we'll be able to finish these games next year, and it gives you a lot of hope knowing that we were so close twice against Texas A&M, a top 25 team, a top three team in the Southeastern Conference, that we were able to get so close. Didn't quite finish, but it gives you hope for the future. So once again, 68-66 final, Texas A&M over Mississippi State, and we'll get to the Mississippi State South Carolina game in a moment. But first, let's switch to baseball and preview the upcoming baseball series. Mississippi State was supposed to play against Memphis on Tuesday. That game was rained out. I believe it was rescheduled for sometime in April. Was the date to which it was moved. But Mississippi State baseball will be playing a doubleheader against UMass Lowell, the Riverhawks, and the Colonels of Nicholls State. Looking at Nicholls State so far this year, they are 4-0. Not bad. 4-0, right? And so far, with 4 wins over Mississippi Valley State, 6-1, 18-2, 15-1, 13-3, some murder wins. But pretty much a game that just went final. Alabama played Nicholls State and beat the Colonels 13-1. So I'm not sure how good Mississippi Valley State is in baseball. I'm assuming that they're pretty terrible, knowing these final scores against Nicholls State. But Nicholls State just got absolutely annihilated by Alabama. I'm not sure how great Alabama. I'm pretty sure they were picked last in the SEC West. So Alabama, I mean, it's an SEC school, but it's not a top-tier SEC school. And Nicholls State really just got absolutely annihilated by the Crimson Tide. But I'm just going to go back to their 2015 season, just out of curiosity, to see how the Colonels of Nicholls State did last year. Last year, they were pretty good. 34-19 includes a 6-3 win over LSU a year ago. I'm not sure how many players they brought back going into this year, but they were a good team last year. But it's just assuming from that Alabama game that they're probably not going to be as good as they were last year. And looking at UMass Lowell, they have not played any games this year. This upcoming tournament series against Mississippi State and Nicholls State will be their first action of the year. But looking at last year, this is a pretty poor team. 17-26 overall. Actually was scheduled to play Dallas Baptist, which was the former school that Wes Johnson was a part of, but that series was canceled, I'm presuming, due to weather, which is disappointing. I wish we could have seen how they matched up against Wes Johnson's squad when he was the pitching coach there. But just assuming, once again, I really didn't have much research into the River Hawks as to who they bring back, but there were 17-26, 10-16 away, so not a great team on the road, but I don't expect them to be a very good team this year. So just based off of that, Mississippi State should sweep, And I said on Tuesday that if Mississippi State, including the Memphis game, which of course has been canceled, so the next 7 games, if Mississippi State loses 2 of them, I will be on board the Fire John Cohen train and you should be done with the year. Because we are about to be going into a stretch of games that we should win. 4 games against UMass Lowell and Nicholls State. And then we play Alcorn State. Let me go back to our Mississippi. Let me go to the Mississippi State baseball schedule real quickly, just to get the actual schedule in front of me. Or sorry, the next. Whoops. The next 5 games, excuse me. Though, if we lose, really, in my opinion, if we lose one of those games, these next 5, which is the 4 game, the 2 games against UMass Lowell, 2 games against Nicholls State, and a Tuesday game against Alcorn State, if we lose one of them, you need to be concerned. You need to be legitimately concerned. If we lose one of these games, we are going to be a bottom feeder in the SEC, and I don't expect us to make it to a regional. So, we need to be 5-0 over the, we need to be 5-0 and 7-2 on the year entering the Los Angeles tournament against 3 really quality teams in UCLA, USC, and Oklahoma. So I'm just going to predict a 4-0 sweep for the Bulldogs over UMass Lowell and Nicholls State. I do not expect anything less, and if something less does happen, there will be problems. So now let's go ahead and talk some more basketball, get back on the basketball train. We're playing South Carolina today, on Saturday in Starkville. The last time Mississippi State played South Carolina, the Gamecocks pulled off an 84-74 victory. Mississippi State was able to keep it competitive, but really South Carolina is just the better team and was able to pull away. Since playing Mississippi State, South Carolina has been sort of on a roller coaster stretch, up and down bumpy ride, has wins over teams like Alabama and Texas A&M and LSU and Florida, but at the same time has losses to Georgia, got blown out by Kentucky, and then without a doubt their worst loss of the season, a loss to Missouri. Which is really an inexcusable loss. Once again, it was the exact same thing I said going into the last time we played South Carolina. They're beatable. They are beatable. And I said a big reason why I thought that we were going to lose to the Gamecocks the last time we played them is because we were playing on the road, and Mississippi State generally does not play well on the road. Of course, since then, Mississippi State's pulled off some road wins over Missouri and Alabama, so we've probably been learning a little bit about our road woes, and once again, we came very close in a road matchup against a quality Texas A&M team. But I think that this is just going to be another one where Mississippi State will get close and will not be able to finish, and I think that's going to be something that I'm going to be predicting for a long time, up until the Auburn game at home. Looking once again at their schedule, South Carolina, 4 of their 5 losses are on the road. 4-4 on the road, losing to Alabama in Tuscaloosa, Tennessee in Knoxville, Georgia in Athens, and Missouri in Columbia. So, and that's Columbia, Missouri, by the way. And so, once again, this team is not a fantastic road team. They are beatable. I don't think we will necessarily be able to. Now, I will say this. Will I be genuinely surprised? Like, when we beat Alabama, when we beat Vanderbilt, I was genuinely stunned. More so by Alabama, but I was genuinely shocked. I was pretty much taken off guard by that Alabama game. If we beat South Carolina, I will be a little bit surprised, but I will not be super surprised. Because when we beat Alabama, that's on the road against a team that was on an absolute tear and at the climax of their season and really starting to click, and it looked like a true NCAA tournament team. South Carolina has sort of been on a bumpy road, and they haven't really been hitting a streak. South Carolina's better than us. They're much more experienced than us. They play as a team better than we do, and they're 23-5. I don't know if they've beaten Tennessee yet, because they were playing Tennessee as I record. Let's see if that game's gone final. Yes, yeah, South Carolina beat Tennessee 84-58. Big win there. So now the Gamecocks are 23-5 on the year. But this is a beatable team. They're on a bumpy road right now. But I don't see them winning. I don't see Mississippi State able to pull it off. I think it'll be close. I think Mississippi State will keep it close. I think it'll be keep it competitive. I think it'll be probably under 5 points. But I see South Carolina winning it, let's say 73-68. 73-68, I'll say. I was just saying under 5 points, but I'll make it 5 points. And now just briefly, I do want to mention David Turner. You know, and there was actually a question asked that I'm about to get to, but Mississippi State, of course, obviously lost in this order. Safeties coach Tony Hughes, now Miami defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, Deshae Townsend, and so those were the three Mississippi State assistant coaches that were gone. So that's three new coaches right there, and David Turner, who had 6 years experience under Dan Mullen, would be sort of that experienced veteran guy on the staff that would be able to lead these three new coaches. But that's not going to happen anymore. David Turner heading to Texas A&M to be their defensive line coach. About 2 days before this news was announced, it was rumored that Oklahoma was targeting David Turner for their defensive line position. But now I was pretty surprised. I didn't know that Texas A&M even had a vacancy at the defensive line. But apparently they did, and they were able to pick up David Turner. So that means that we not only lost our defensive coordinator, but we lost our three major assistants. We lost our safeties coach, we lost our cornerbacks coach, now we lost our defensive line coach. And I saw a tweet, someone tweeted me back after I said, because I'm getting concerned about our defense next year, and I'll explain that when we get to that question that was asked. But someone responded to me when I tweeted out that I'm getting concerned that change is good. Look at last year. The difference is last year we lost to one assistant. We lost a defensive coordinator. This year we're losing a defensive coordinator, but we're also losing three other coaches. We are losing every single defensive assistant that we have. We're going to be bringing in four new coaches on the defensive staff. And if that's not concerning, I genuinely don't know what it is. It was already concerning as is, and now we're losing. You know, Tony Hughes is our top recruiter. This is David Turner was just promoted to our associate head coach. When Tony Hughes left for Jackson State, David Turner was just given a pay raise to be our associate head coach. So now that position needs to be filled as well. So I'm getting concerned for next year's defense, but I just wanted to mention that, and that search for the new coach is on. So let's go ahead and get to our questions really quickly here. Mr. Vanderlip, the large dog trademark at KT Vanderlip on Twitter, asks four questions. Number one, what is your level of concern with the number of coaches we've had to replace in football? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll probably give it an 8. I thought that, you know, losing the three previous coaches was definitely a concern, particularly losing Manny Diaz, especially since Peter Sermon has not had any experience as a defensive coordinator, so that's sort of a question mark there. But we still had that veteran guy who's been on staff for a long time on the defensive side of the ball, and now he's gone. So we're going to be, all of our defensive coaches are going to be brand new guys, and that's particularly why I'm concerned. And I personally think that there's a chance that this could shave a win off of our schedule. We could possibly gain a loss because of losing these coaches. Number two, what are your thoughts on the possibility of the SEC baseball tournament being in towns other than Hoover? Well, I've never experienced an SEC tournament outside of Hoover, so it's going to be kind of weird not knowing that. But if it's in Memphis, if it's at AutoZone Park, fine by me. Number three, how does it feel to have the number one hashtag Hail State centric podcast as voted on by me? It's honoring. It's an absolute honor. I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank my family. I want to thank my dog. I want to thank my cat. I want to thank everyone except Ethan, because, you know, Ethan's sort of just the guy who fills space. He's just a guy who fills airtime. He's the only reason why I have it. And he doesn't even show up for this show, you know? He's doing stuff with cactuses. Cacti. Who likes cacti? Like, really, they're prickly. They hurt you. And he'd rather do stuff with that than this? Pfft, ridiculous. But thank you, Mr. Vanderloop. I appreciate it. And finally, this is my favorite question anyone has ever asked. Daniel, do you even own a pair of white Vans? Such a fantastic question. For those who don't know, there is a little viral video going around, or a series of videos that I don't even know why they're even getting the popularity that they're getting. It just shows you how weird the internet is, knowing that this series of videos is getting so popular, but they're saying, damn, Daniel, this guy who has the weirdest voice in the entire world just goes up to this guy named Daniel and compliments his Vans, his white Vans, and that are these shoes. Damn, Daniel! Back at it again with the white Vans! Yeah, I can't really do it well, but it's kind of hard to say that. But no, I don't own a pair of white Vans. So yeah, thank you for the questions, Mr. Vanderlip. And that will pretty much wrap it up for this episode of Whom the Podcast Tolls. On Tuesday, we will talk about Mississippi State basketball's game against South Carolina, the baseball series, and any other news that breaks over the weekend. But until then, thank you all for listening, and be sure to remember to be very quality.